Hello, you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with the Prescott Daily Courier for Sunday, November 24th, 2025. I'm volunteer reader Catherine Hammond. Front page articles include News Stations and Fire Codes, What You Need to Know. Imagination Library of the Prescott Area delivers books to over 3,000 children. PV Police detains two, releases one in sting operation. And Hobbs claims credit as she urges lawmakers to enact federal-style tax cuts GOP says are inevitable. Now the stories behind the headlines. New Stations and Fire Codes, What You Need to Know by Hava Herzog, The Daily Courier. Over the past few weeks, Prescott City Council has approved design services and land purchases for new fire stations, approved a design-build contract for a new fire training tower, and approved changes to the city's building and fire codes. Here's what is new. Prescott Fire Stations. The City Council approved multiple Prescott Fire Department PFD items, including a design contract for a new station, station relocation, station redesign, and a new training tower. PFD issued a combined design contract for stations 76, 73, and 72 to maximize efficiency and reduce expenses, according to a memo to council. This will represent the first major capital investment in public safety infrastructure in the fire department in 35 years in the city of Prescott, and that is definitely a very big deal, Prescott Fire Chief Holger Dure said. The items were approved October 28th in a council voting meeting and were the culmination of 4 years of work to determine optimal coverage. This is not just about building new facilities. This is also about the expansion of programming that is directly going to impact our ability to serve the community, Chief Dure said. PFD Division Chief and Fire Marshal Anthony Valdez said the department had a design kickoff with Perlman Architects Thursday, November 20, to begin discussing designs for the three stations. I'm hoping that about this time next year, maybe a little bit earlier, we would see a shovel in the ground, and approximately 2 years after that, we'd have those stations open, Dure said. The land purchase cost $200,000 plus title and escrow charges and design services for the new fire stations project will cost $2,427,218.13, money available in the general fund. Station 76. The construction of the new station aims to address service gaps and reduce response times in the Prescott Lakes Parkway area. The new station, Station 76, will be located on a city-owned parcel near the northwest corner of Sundog Ranch Road and Prescott Lakes Parkway. The new location will service five critical areas in need of more coverage, including the Highway 89 and Prescott Lakes Parkway corridors, Rosser Drive, and the Prescott Lakes area. The location will also provide easy access to the Peavine Trail, which Dure said will be a huge strategic advantage. We are looking forward to being closer to those recreational amenities, Dure said. We do quite a few rescues. Technical rescue will be one of the focus areas of Station 76. Station 73. Station 73 is currently located at Prescott Airport Ernest A. Love Field, but will be relocated to the west side of Highway 89 near the Phippen Roundabout. The council approved a purchase agreement between the city and James Revocable Trust to purchase about 1.36 acres of real property for the relocation. The location is also adjacent to the Constellation Trailhead. The new site was chosen for its ideal coverage of current development patterns and excellent access to the available transportation network, which will ensure more rapid and efficient emergency response times, PFD said in a memo to council. Chief Dure acknowledged the roadway near Constellation Trailhead and the adjacent roundabout would be a traffic concern. To address this, PFD and Public Works included plans for a slip lane and a fire signal. The airport component of the station will remain on-site with a Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, funded facility. Station 72. Station 72 is not moving but is due for an upgrade. The station is at 536th Street and was originally a 1970s fire vehicle maintenance shop. A feasible study was included in the design contract for this location to determine whether reconstruction or a substantial remodel is required. It is definitely time for that station to modernize, Duray said. Because of the location, we propose to keep it at this site. Prescott Fire Training Tower. The council also approved a design-build contract with Danson Construction to not exceed the amount of $2,823,026.52. The facility will be a five-story structure that will be National Fire Protection Association, NFPA, certified and have custom-made live wire and confined spaces for training. This project will significantly enhance the Prescott Fire Department's capacity to train personnel in advanced firefighting and rescue techniques, supporting the city's strategic commitment to public safety and service excellence, a memo to council said. The location of the tower will be off of Sundog Ranch Road near the intersection of Highway 89 and Prescott Lakes Parkway. Fire codes. The adoption of the 2024 International Building and Fire Codes was approved at the Council's voting meeting November 18. The city is currently using the 2018 International Fire Code with amendments added in 2021. The 2024 code was approved with amendments to address local needs. The 2024 codes were designed by the International Code Council, ICC, which provides model codes, standards, and building safety solutions for communities and buildings. New codes are released every 3 years. The amendments are scheduled to be brought before the Fire Board of Appeals on December 4, 2025. Amendments would be proposed as deemed necessary. The Urban Wildland Interface Code, which is separate, is scheduled to be brought before City Council in the first quarter of next year. The City of Prescott currently uses the 2012 International Wildland Urban Interface Code. Address identification. One change includes defining address identification for 1- and 2-family homes and townhouse structures. For commercial structures and multifamily structures, each address character must not be less than 6 inches high. For 1- and 2-family homes and townhome structures, address characters must not be less than 4 inches high. The minimum stroke width for both is 1/2 inch. These requirements are not new, but the old code said identification must be 6 inches high without identifying different types of structures. Valdez said they will not enforce the requirements except for new structures or structures with an address identification issue. Additional access and egress roads. The new code will require more than one fire apparatus access egress road. Impairment of a single road could prevent emergency vehicle access and/or emergency egress, such as in the event of an evacuation. We have received a lot of feedback from our development community that the requirement is specific to access, and so when we refer to some of our biggest single-family residential developments and we're requiring a secondary access, really in our minds we're thinking it's going to be intended mostly for egress if we needed to evacuate that community, Valdez said in a council study session November 4th. This code will apply to new structures built. Outdoor assembly permits. Current code requires an outdoor assembly permit for an expected attendance of 1,000 people. Changes include reducing the number to an expected attendance of 500 people. Anytime we have a large assembly, even at 500 folks, that has an increased risk to the people who are there, whether there's alcohol sales, whether we're refining folks from immediate egress paths, and so forth. But it's also an ability for us to review it and ensure that emergency service personnel can also serve that area if we were to have some sort of unfortunate event, Valdez said on November 4th. Imagination Library of the Prescott Area delivers books to over 3,000 children. By Abigail Celaya, The Daily Courier. The Imagination Library of the Prescott Area, ILPA, provides children ages 0 to 5 with a free book of their own each month. The books are selected by literacy experts to match age-appropriate content and reading levels. Currently, the program is serving 3,000 children. Over time, children have the opportunity to build their own home library by collecting the books they love. Each book comes with a parent guide, which offers tips on how to engage with the story and make reading a shared experience. Dolly Parton created the Imagination Library program in 1995. She was inspired by her father's inability to read and its impact on the opportunities available to him. She wanted to spark a love of reading in children, so she launched the program in Tennessee to give all access to books. The program then spread across the globe. In 2019, the Prescott branch came to life. Noel D'Souza, a former elementary school teacher and principal, has been key to securing grants and keeping the program alive. He said the biggest impact has been how many people are interested in the program. We get a lot of anecdotal comments when we go to different fairs and events, D'Souza said. Parents will say that their child got their monthly book in the mail and made them read it 5 times. Now, he said, older children who were once in the program but graduated from it are taking their books and reading to the younger children. Tara O'Neill, the program director for Yavapai College's Early Childhood Education Program and ILPA board member, said she believes the investment required to operate the library is worth it. O'Neill said many children in Yavapai County don't live near a library, and this program is important to allow them to have access to physical books they can read over and over again through a home library. The long-term effects of having high-quality, developmentally appropriate literature in homes support not only pre- and early literacy skills among young children, but also encourage important positive interactions between children and their caregivers, especially in the current technology-driven atmosphere we find ourselves in, O'Neill said. Allie Conant is an associate professor at NAU's Yavapai campus and a board member for the Imagination Library of the Prescott area. She said children's brains grow at an astonishing pace during their first 5 years, and that early literacy shapes the foundation for all education that follows. When young children are surrounded by stories, songs, and conversations, they're not just entertained, they are building vocabulary, comprehension, and critical thinking skills, Conant said. Conant said the research shows children who are exposed to quality literature during their early years enter school with more confidence and a bigger vocabulary than their peers. Those who either didn't have access or weren't exposed to literacy struggled to catch up, Conant said. She said studies link reading difficulties at a young age to higher dropout rates or students later facing time in prison. That's why family involvement and access to books are so essential. Parents and caregivers play a vital role in nurturing a love of words and stories that can change the trajectory of a child's life, Conant said. One of ILPA's newest partnerships is with court-appointed special advocates, CASA, which means children in foster care will also have their own books to keep. Through these efforts, ILPA is helping to create a community where every child has the tools and the passion to thrive through literacy, Conant said. D'Souza said the next steps will include more outreach to rural areas like Seligman and Skull Valley to try to expand the program to more parts of the country. You're listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. You can also hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. PV Police detains two, releases one in sting operation. Prescott Valley Police Department, PVPD, Special Weapons and Tactics, SWAT team, and its Criminal Investigations Division conducted a sting operation Friday, November 21st. The sting occurred around 10 a.m. at Homestead Talking Glass apartment complex at 3131 North Main Street in Prescott Valley. PVPD detained two men and released one with no charges. As of 4 p.m. Friday, no charges have been brought against the other man. PVPD said it is still in the process of investigating the man's devices. Check with the Courier for updates on this story. Hobbs claims credit as she urges lawmakers to enact federal-style tax cuts GOP says are inevitable. By Howard Fisher for the Courier. Phoenix. Promoting it as her own idea, Governor Katie Hobbs on Thursday said she wants Arizona lawmakers to enact many of the same tax cuts as Congress approved last year in the Big Beautiful Bill. "I'm proudly working to deliver this tax cut for middle-class Arizonans," the governor said in a press release, dubbing it "My Middle-Class Tax Cuts Package." Only thing is, key legislative Republicans told Capital Media Services in July, after the federal law was adopted, that there is strong sentiment among the GOP majority to ensure that Arizona's tax code conforms with the revised Internal Revenue Code and does so retroactively, so it affects earnings in 2025. In fact, Senate Majority Leader John Kavanaugh said not conforming is not a realistic option. He said Arizonans should not have to do double calculations on everything from the standard deduction to whether Arizona, unlike the federal government, will tax their tips and overtime. But what remains unknown is exactly how much such changes will cost and where the state will get the money. The Joint Legislative Budget Committee estimated in July that conforming to every change in federal law carries a $318 million price tag, plus another $57 million in possible effects, a fair chunk for a state with a $17.6 billion state budget. Gubernatorial press aide Christian Slater said the best estimate of Hobbs' plan is $215 million. The difference is that the governor's proposal does not include some provisions in the federal law, like allowing businesses to write off the cost of new equipment faster, reducing their taxable income. Kavanaugh, a Fountain Hills Republican, said Thursday that he believes the legislature will find the cash, and not just for the parts of conformity that the governor wants. And if nothing else, he said he believes the state could cut some other lower priority programs to make up the difference, though he did not identify what he believes is on that list. What makes all this important, aside from the change in state revenues, is the hassle that not conforming would create for Arizona taxpayers. Right now, the starting point for Arizonans to compute their personal state income taxes is the federally adjusted gross income. That simplifies the process for filers. They start with their FAGI and make additional calculations, like the ability to deduct money put into 529 plans to save for a child's college from their income. And Arizona has dollar-for-dollar credits that don't exist on the federal form, like donations to organizations that provide scholarships for students to attend private and parochial schools. If Arizona does not conform, however, that creates what Kavanaugh calls an accounting nightmare. That would require Arizonans to make additional calculations and add back income into the state form that the federal government has decided is no longer taxable, like income from tips and overtime. Hobbs, facing a tough re-election campaign in 2026, is picking and choosing which part of the federal law she wants Arizona to follow, those she said that affect the middle class. "I encourage the legislature to join with me to immediately codify my middle-class tax cuts package to increase the standard deduction, support our seniors, and allow everyday Arizonans to benefit from the tax deductions on tips, overtime, and car loan interest when paying their state taxes," her press release reads. Specifics include increasing the standard deduction on state tax forms from $15,000 to $15,750 for single filers, twice that for married couples filing jointly, add an additional $6,000 reduction in taxable income for Arizonans 65 and older, allow Arizonans to deduct tips they have earned, no state income tax on eligible overtime, create a deduction for the taxes paid on interest on loans on new cars made in Arizona. And all that can add up depending on how many of those deductions a person can claim. For example, Hobbs said a 68-year-old unmarried person who has a federal adjusted gross income, who earns tips working full-time at an Arizona casino, who works overtime and purchased a new car in 2025. Without conformity, the governor said her state tax would be $1,500. With all the new deductions, that drops to $1,031. Senator J.D. Mesnard, who chairs the Senate Finance Committee, the one that deals with the tax code, pointed out that the state has almost always conformed to changes in federal tax law. It keeps things simple for the taxpayers, said the Chandler Republican. It's more transparent. And Mesnard, like Kavanaugh, said even with the size of the hit to state revenues, he's seen figures as high as $400 million for the whole package, including breaks to help business. He believes conformity is doable. We just have to prioritize, he said. Slater said his boss also believes that the money can be found in a deal reached with the Republican majority to finance the lost revenues, at least those in her priority list. He pointed out that the Democratic governor has worked with the GOP majority and signed balanced budgets each year since she took office in 2023, though that is something actually required in the Arizona Constitution. And Slater said that occurred even in the wake of cuts in state income tax enacted during the administration of Doug Ducey, her Republican predecessor, cuts that kicked in after she took office. Governor Hobbs is confident we can reach across the aisle again and deliver a fourth bipartisan budget while delivering critical tax cuts for middle-class Arizonans, Slater said. That talk by Hobbs about bipartisan cooperation, yet trying to make a conformity plan all about her, drew a swat from Mesnard. He pointed out all this actually started in Washington with the Big Beautiful Bill. The governor is trying to steal credit for efforts by President and the Republican Congress, he said, a bill that every single Democrat voted against. Hobbs, who won her 2022 race by just 17,117 votes out of more than 2.6 million votes cast, is trying to hold on to her seat. Her most recent campaign finance reports showed she had already collected $9.3 million since the 2022 race, plus another $2.7 million in a separate political action committee. In her first race in 2022, she raised less than $15 million. And while polls a year out from the election may not carry much weight, they do suggest that the incumbent Democrat may have something to fear, especially with Republicans increasing their voter registration edge in Arizona. A Gray House poll conducted last month showed her trailing a generic Republican by 4 points. And a more recent poll by Emerson College, pitting her against GOP frontrunner Andy Biggs, had the incumbent leading by just 1 point, well within the margin of error. Mountain lions seen in town as county prohibits feeding wildlife, by Gillian Gus Andrews, The Daily Courier. A mountain lion was spotted in a residential neighborhood just north of the Prescott Valley Civic Center in recent weeks, near the intersection of North Viewpoint Drive and Spouse Drive. City officials cautioned residents to stay alert and report any sightings to Arizona Game and Fish or Prescott Valley Animal Services. Fines for feeding wildlife. The sighting comes just as Yavapai County passed a law making feeding wildlife punishable with fines up to $300 for repeat offenses. There are people who feel wildlife in order to view wildlife, and that does not create a dangerous situation, County Attorney Martin Brennan told the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors at their November 19 meeting. Wild animals that have become accustomed to humans are often put to death to ensure nobody is harmed. Feeding wildlife can also spread disease between animals and humans or between domestic and wild animals. The ordinance has exceptions for feeding birds and tree squirrels, provided the feeder can't be accessed by other animals. Animals eating fruit that has fallen from a resident's tree will also not be counted as feeding animals. Keeping your property safe. Feeding animals was not necessarily at issue in the case of this lion. Mountain lions sometimes look for food, water, or shelter in residential areas. Pet food, garbage, and water sources may attract mountain lions to populated areas. The town recommends keeping these secured. Though the animals prefer to avoid humans, the town is advising residents to stay close to small children when they are outdoors, even in the yard. Pets should also be kept safe inside or in fully enclosed areas. Mountain lions are most often active at night, dawn, and dusk. Need to know. Town Place Suites in Prescott Valley open, Small Business Saturday, Holiday Spirit and Gingerbread. the Daily Courier. Town Place Suites in Prescott Valley open. Town Place Suites Prescott Valley is now open for business. According to Intermountain Management, the 93-suite hotel showcases upscale, stylish decor that offers flexibility while creating a unique environment. The Fain and Beck families are proud to continue investing in the growth and success of the Prescott Valley community, said Dane Beck of the ownership group in a news release. Bringing the Marriott Town Place Suites to Prescott Valley reflects our belief in the region's strong future, and we're thrilled to create a space that serves visitors and locals alike while contributing to the local economy. Town Place Suites is in the heart of Prescott Valley, surrounded by views of Glassford Hill and the Bradshaw Mountains. The hotel is also located near the Findlay Toyota Center. The all-suite hotel offers both studio and one-bedroom suites. This, according to the hotel, allows guests to balance work and life with comfort, flexibility, and affordability. Each suite features fully equipped kitchens, full-size refrigerators, cooktops, and complimentary Wi-Fi. Additional perks include a large fitness center, laundry, business center, outdoor space with a fire pit and grill, plus a 24-hour market. Guests can also start the morning with a complimentary breakfast at the hotel. We are incredibly excited to open the first Marriott Hotel in Prescott Valley. My team and I eagerly await the opportunity to welcome each guest with warm Town Place Suites hospitality, General Manager Jaden Weaver said in the release. Intermountain Renovations Interior Design and Procurement team was chosen to spearhead the design of the hotel. Town Place Suites Prescott Valley is located at 7300 East Florentine Road, Prescott Valley. For reservations or more information, call 928-356-1988 or visit www.marriott.com/PRCTS. Small Business Saturday. Booklets are available beginning Monday, November 24 at the Prescott Chambers Visitor and Information Center promoting Area Businesses Small Business Saturday, November 29. The booklets and information is meant to inspire community members to shop small, eat small, and support our local economy. The community event is free and open to all small businesses in the Prescott area. More information may be obtained by calling Marie Simpson at 928-445-2000, extension 112, or via email at marie@prescott.org. Holiday Spirit and Gingerbread. The Prescott Resort and Conference Center will be hosting its 33rd annual Gingerbread Village from Saturday, November 29 through Thursday, January 1, with the grand opening on November 29. The village will be displayed with the theme It Takes a Village to Make a Village. More information may be obtained by calling 928-776-1666. The center is located at 1500 East Highway 69. That's all the time we have for the Prescott Daily Courier. For Sun Sounds of Arizona, I'm volunteer reader Catherine Hammond. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful day.